up, everybody, and welcome to Inside the Disney Vault, the only podcast in the whole wide world to cover every single Disney animated movie in chronological order, every Pixar movie in chronological order, and now every DCOM in chronological order. I'm Oscar.
I'm Claire.
And I'm Rachel.
And today, joining us in the vault, we have one of the co-hosts of the really cool podcast. I really love this podcast. P.S. I love rom-coms. It's Allie Jennings.
Hello.
Allie, how are you?
Oh, I'm so good. Is there anything better than talking about Disney movies? I don't think so.
Very few things.
Rom-coms.
Yeah. Maybe rom-coms.
But they're really, they're very neck and neck.
They're very similar. They're both like, both are very like, have their tropes that we love. We love to see.
Oh, yeah.
You're watching a DCOM, you know there's going to be a happy ending.
So comforting.
It's so comforting. There's no, you know, nothing's too scary. It's, you know, everything's right.
Sometimes too scary, Rachel?
Don't look under the bed.
Sometimes scary.
Because it's moments.
Oh. Halloween Town is scary.
Halloween Town has its moments.
Calabar is true.
Calabar is a scary villain.
You know,
but you do know. Yeah, most of the time it's
but there is a little romance and comedy in that as well, which makes it a rom-com.
True.
Halloween Town is a famous rom-com.
It's one of the biggest rom-coms.
Yeah. Right under When Harry Met Sally.
I think like right under. Yeah, I think like right under. Yeah. But Allie, you're here in a very cool part of the vault. What are we seeing inside the vault today?
I see some worms. Just a couple worms.
Just a couple.
But treated like it's way more.
Right.
Yeah. I see a soft serve machine that's freaking out.
Yeah. I see a really distracting poster that says "To the Top" with a mountaintop. But it on it
looks like it just says top.
Exactly, which is even more distracting, I think. But Allie, what do you see in the vault?
Oh man, I see a lot of swords, but no guns. Just swords.
Wow. I mean, obviously, we are talking about
princess
protection
program,
aka PPP.
Totally.
Oh, wow. Had you all seen Princess Protection Program before?
Yes.
I have not.
I have
Rachel
not.
Has. Allie, have you?
I have not. I
think Wait a second. Oh. Hold on. Wait, this is the first time you've watched PPP?
Yeah. Well, like the years that I watched like DCOMs, I think were between like 1999 with like Xenon. And then I stopped around 2007 with Jump In, just because
oh
I
my god, Jump
love
In.
Corbin Blue so Corbin much.
Corbin Bleu.
Uh-huh. He was the first concert I ever
stop. No way.
He had a
Allie, are you serious?
Yes, he did. And you know what's so sad is it was Allie and AJ were the headliners, but Corbin Blue was the opening act, and I just came for Corbin. And after Corbin was done, I left because I was
you
like,
"You didn't,
yeah."
You didn't like, stick around for Allie and AJ?
No, I didn't. I wasn't into Allie and AJ. they were just—I mean, they were sisters, right? Or were they just blonde?
Yeah, they're sisters.
Okay,
they're sisters.
I love that game. Are they sisters or are they blonde? That's my favorite game.
I was always a Corbin Bleu fan, and I think, you know, I stopped at the peak of DCOMs, so
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can't jump in.
Well, you know, one would say that the peak of DCOMs was right at the beginning. You had your, you know, 13th year, Luck of the Irish. I think that was like the golden age of the DCOMs,
right? Oh, Luck
right?
of the Irish was so good.
So, Allie, what were some of your favorite DCOMs growing up?
Oh, man. Okay, Cheetah Girls. I love the Cheetah Girls.
Thank you.
Girls, I love Smart House. I think that's kind of a weird one that not as many
Smart
people
House.
Were like into, but I really love Smart House.
I love Smart House.
I love Smart. I love seeing House that great. House. I loved imagining I could live in that house. Mm-hmm. It was so cool.
The house.
Oh, those TV walls.
Yeah.
What more could I
Bewitched?
Want?
Bewitched. Thank you, Rachel. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I loved Twitches.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
I loved that one. Xenon. I mean, everyone loves Xenon, but
so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man.
So good.
Yes, so you have a connection with the DCOMs and Disney, yeah?
Oh yeah, I was like very, very into Disney Channel for a very long time, and I think it kind of like ruined my sense of fashion for a really long time because I thought I could layer. I just like wore so many layers in high school, like and then rewatching. I mean, like, or watching Princess Protection Program for the first time, I was like, that's why you thought you could wear so many tank tops, Allie, because look how Selena Gomez is pulling off the double tank look.
Okay, so do you think that was a Disney-specific thing? Because we have talked about the layers a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was an early 2000s thing, but I think Disney really went in on it because there's jokes about the layering of Disney. Because Disney Channel stars can't show any skin.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because they do want them to wear the cute top, but the cute top maybe is a little too revealing. So they put like a top with thicker straps underneath it.
Yeah.
And I noticed that happened in this movie too, for sure.
Specifically the tank look. The double tank was a aggressive look in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh man. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's like when I had to wear a t-shirt in the pool, but that's because I have sensitive skin. A lot of layers. So let's do some smart housekeeping about Princess Protection Program. It was originally released on June 26th, 2009. Screenplay by Annie DeYoung, story by Annie DeYoung and David Morgeson, directed by Allison Liddy Brown, and music by John Van Tongeren. I don't remember if we've heard that name.
I don't think we've
heard
that name before.
It's an interesting name. Mm-hmm. Van Tongeren.
Right.
Yeah. So our cast is Demi Lovato as Princess Rosalinda Maria Montoya, relation to Oscar, or maybe relation to Oscar.
Yeah, we sisters.
Okay. Fiore / Rosie Gonzalez, and later Queen of Costa Luna, just so you know all of her titles. I'm so sorry. Then Selena Gomez as Carter Mason, Tom Verica as Major Joe Mason, Celie Diaz as Queen Sophia Fiore, Johnny Ray Rodriguez as General Magnus Kane, Jamie Chung as Chelsea Barnes, Nicholas Braun as Ed, Robert Adamson as Donnie, and Samantha Drake as Brooke. And then we've got a few more people.
Oh, Brooke was her name. Okay.
Yeah, it was Chelsea and Brooke were the two mean gals.
Chelsea.
Fun fact, this filmed in Puerto Rico from March 14th, 2008 to April 18th, 2008.
The whole movie.
About a month.
Even the Louisiana scenes?
Wait. Oh, yeah. So they sat on this movie for a while.
You're right, and that's why in the movie they say it's Homecoming 2008.
Yeah,
but it was released in 2000. You're right; that was over a year later.
Wow. They probably wanted to save it down the line.
Yeah,
and a fun fact:
film in like, you know, outside of state.
Yes. This not usually. This is the first one I think that was filmed in Puerto Rico, but they usually film in Canada or like Australia or
New Zealand mostly. Yeah.
Yeah. Get those tax breaks.
Yeah.
I bet.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, they, so sometimes they go on location. Oh, and the Cheetah Girls, they went all over the world.
Oh, that's true.
Of course.
One world.
Because they're superstars.
They did. They went to India. They went to Spain and New York City was the first one.
Oh, hey, yeah.
City of Dreams.
Another fun fact is that Selena Gomez was originally cast as Rosie and Demi was originally cast as Carter, but they decided to switch roles because that felt truer to them, very similar to what the Twitches
did. That makes sense. That's also, right. I feel like if Demi was Carter, then they would have been more mean, I think. Because we got a glimpse of that in Camp Rock when Demi would be mean.
Oh.
It was like really mean. So I feel I don't know. I feel like it's
interesting. Yeah, it would have been different. It would have had a different feel. But that's it's kind of all we got. Oh, we have a couple of songs in the movie. Duet recorded by Demi Lovato and Selena Gomez called One and the Same. And then they said there was also a song recorded by Mitchell Musso called The Girl Can't Help It.
But she can't help what? Wait, do you know this person, Allie?
Mitchell Musso with the hair.
We just saw him in Hatching Pete.
Mitchell Musso. It's that guy. Okay.
From Hannah Montana.
He has that hair.
He sings too?
Everyone.
They all sing.
Oscar, you goodness. Have to know this. Everyone on Disney Channel is forced to sing.
Forced to?
Yeah.
In their contract.
Yeah.
Holy cow. Okay.
Whether they're good or not.
Yeah.
Corbin, Allie and AJ, Demi, Selena, Mitchell, Hannah Montana. Cheetah Girls.
Cheetah Girls.
Oh, didn't the woman from Kim Possible sing her theme song too? What's her name?
Oh,
Christy Carlson.
Romano sings too.
Yeah, she does sing. Went to the moon in 1969.
She was Belle on Broadway.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
She also didn't get the role in Princess Diaries because she didn't audition. She's been doing a lot of YouTube series. I don't know if you've noticed this. She's been doing a lot of YouTube videos that are all clickbait, and it's like, why I lost the role in Princess Diaries, or like how 9/11 affected me, and it's like all these.
Excuse me.
Yeah. She has a whole.
But you said clickbait, meaning like they're all like fake or something.
No, they're all just kind of like 9/11 affected everyone. You know, it's like or like I didn't audition for Princess Diaries because I was busy, or like, you know.
Oh, okay. But how did Tiger Cruise affect her?
She was not. Do you know about
Tiger Cruise, Ellie?
No.
It's the 9/11 DCOM.
What?
Yeah, it has Hayden Panettiere in it and Bill Pullman from While You Were Sleeping. Yeah.
Tiger Cruise?
Yeah.
They go on a tiger cruise, and then that's when they find out that 9/11 happened, and then everyone's like, "Oh my gosh!"
Have you guys watched it yet?
Oh yeah, we covered it.
Is it tasteful?
Like a year after.
I think we had the consensus that was why was this made? That was the question at the end. We were like, who is this for?
Yeah.
Because also it was made in like, I want to say 2005 or 6. It was like many years after. Mm-hmm. And also I truly don't know who it was made for. Because it would be like what am I trying to say? A Tiger Cruise sounds cool in general. It's when the family comes to visit people aboard a ship who are stationed there. But it's about a true story. This one was about a true story that happened during September 11, 2001. So it was like based on real events.
And this was a Disney Channel original movie?
It's on Disney
Even
Plus.
Spielberg kind of like Tom Cruise vehicle?
No.
Bill Pullman vehicle.
Wow. Disney Channel with the big swings.
I know, they're really doing it all. They're doing it all.
It's drama, intense historical drama. Wow.
Uh-huh.
There are a lot of DCOMs, and we're watching all of them.
We certainly are. We really
However, are. Let's jump into PPP. Let's swing boat. Via tapestry.
Let's bowl in.
Yeah, there we go. So we open up with some scenery. We're in Louisiana. It's very pretty. And then we find, we meet Selena, who is named Carter.
Yeah.
And she likes a boy named Donnie. And we find out Carter doesn't fit in with the cool kids. So, you know, we got this whole thing going
on.
They drive off.
Her best friend is her dad.
Best friends are dad. Yeah. Dad's got to leave, though, because he's going for a routine op. We don't know what that means.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we cut to a kingdom, and there's a princess, and she's going to be coronated next week. However, Dad's also there, so we find out, Dad's some kind of
princess
security
protection program.
be some kind of princess protection program. And then, okay, so this is, the swords come out and a man.
This is where we see the lack of guns in this movie.
Wild. Yes, off the bat, hurls a sword at the princess's head, gets the crown but misses her, and he declares himself the prince. It's some kind of coup that's happening, and we have to rush the princess off. And, oh, okay, yes, this is when everyone's flying around. A man flies into that table full of food.
Yeah, a fondue table, it seems like, because there was a lot of chocolate there.
Yes, and yes, he comes up and he's covered in chocolate.
The first mess of many messes.
Yes, this was a messy movie, and so dad's there and he's got to protect the princess. Yeah. And they flee via helicopter.
Lots of helicopters in this
they
movie.
They go to... And then they go to Jurassic Park.
Yes. They go to Jurassic Park, exactly. Right before the villain tells mom that, so dark. He's like, you're going to rot in a cell with her. Like, if she comes back. Which I don't know how this person has so much power, because it seems like it's just him. I guess he has some people working with him, but... I don't know. It doesn't quite seem like a takeover. It seems like he's kind of just bossing people around.
Well, when you got a sword and you have that good of a marksmanship where you can, like, stab the crown and the throne, people are going to listen to whatever you say.
Sure. Yes, he's intimidated, though. He's talented. So in Jurassic Park, the princess and dad enter, like, what is some kind of secret underground high-tech place, and we find out this is the Princess Protection Program headquarters, and it's funded by royal families, and that they're currently protecting 29 princesses. However, there are princesses everywhere. How would we describe this place?
I thought it looked like the place in Josie and the Pussycats, where they go and they find out what they're doing with the music. That's what I thought it was.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very spot tech. On. That's very like techy, but also kind of like a little bit cheap, kind of like 90s tech.
'90s tech. A lot of like cement walls.
Felt very Men in Black warehouse.
Yeah.
Like their secret headquarters, but just like on a budget. You know what I mean? Like.
Yeah.
They didn't have the Men in Black budget. They had like the Men in Gray budget. You know. So,
And ultimately, it seems like what they're there to do is give the princesses makeovers, because they try to cut her hair, but immediately she's like, no, I need Major Mason. He's the only person that I trust. And So then he explains, no, you need to do this. And she's like, okay. So then she cuts the hair, although the haircut doesn't look different.
Yeah.
Well, it was very long, though. It was pretty long, and then it becomes a medium
long. But for, like, disguise purposes, it's the old Clark Kent.
It could have changed her color.
Whoa. Yeah.
It just felt like an episode of America's Next Top Model when they were doing the makeovers. And some girls get a drastic makeover, which I feel like that character needed, because she needed to be what? Unrecognizable. But instead, she just got a sensible haircut.
Yeah.
She needed to be what?
Trimmed.
So dad takes her to Louisiana, and Rosie's sitting in Carter's room when Carter gets home, sitting like a robot staring into space.
That's of course Carter do. They just sit around
Carter's surprise. Literally no entertainment at all, just staring at a wall. So Carter comes in and is, of course, disturbed by this person sitting on her bed.
Dad, you're supposed to bring back a t-shirt, not a person.
Right. She's like, you should have warned me, which, correct, yes.
Correct.
Yes. And then, dad's not even bothered by this. He's like, oh, no, it's fine. It's going to be fine. She's got to blend in, and she's got to be a regular American teenager. Okay, can you do that? And Rosie's still sitting like a robot, asks Carter, they asks her to prepare for bed. So Rosie.
That's later. She's like, first of all, Rosie's like, I need you to move this bed out of here. I need this room out of myself. And she's like, no, we're sharing. And then don't get along. She tries to offer her pizza. And she's like, no, but you can help me prepare for bed. And she's like, I'll take a silk pink, please. And she's like, here, you'll have this. And she throws clothes at her. And she's like, can I go to the bathroom? And it's like, it's upstairs. And then she sees a lizard and she freaks out.
Screams.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Carter, being the cool kids, like, don't worry, I got this. Just
grabs
a chill pill. Are you
with lizards? Can you do lizards? Like, if lizards were just hanging out, would you be like, okay? Would you be like, ah?
Oh, yeah. I could grab a lizard.
I could, but it would take me a while because we used to have lizards by our pool, and I would have to get them out. But I would always try to grab them by the tail because it's easier. But then their tail comes off.
Yeah.
Yeah. But sometimes they wouldn't release their tail.
Would blood spurt out of their butt when you grab?
No, no. It just kind of it's like Velcro. It just kind of ploop, and you're like, oh no.
if blood comes out of their butt, they should go see a doctor.
Yeah, I know.
It just like pops out and
you it's detached. A lot of lizards have like detachable tails like, because of their defense mechanism. So if birds
they just regrow it.
Yeah, they regrow their tails.
I like when they don't do that because then you could just carry them out and then put them out and they're free.
I think a lizard would be less disturbing than like a crazy spider.
Oof. Yeah, bugs are gross.
Ooh, bugs are, yeah, no, that's no. No. I can't do bugs.
Yeah. So then we go to breakfast, and Rosie sitting idly at the table as Dad and Carter are sort of hustling and bustling around, I guess expecting someone to offer her breakfast. But,
grab what you want.
No, yeah. Yeah, we got to go. No time for that.
But then the bus
goes
to
school.
Up.
Yeah, the bus driver is so funny. Oh, yeah, well, we met her earlier she was like, wow, looks like somebody's home. She's like, sorry, what were you going to say?
No, that character feels really unexplored, and I feel like there's a lot of story there.
There really is. There is.
I like bus drivers in movies. They always seem nice. Like the one from Forrest Gump is the same one.
Oh,
and then even when Haley Joel at the end is like, I'm Forrest Jr. And she's like, well, I can't remember her name, but it's cute. Bus drivers are cute.
Yeah. But some of them can be mean. Some of them can be mean.
In real life, I had some mean bus drivers.
Oh, really?
Definitely.
Did you take the bus to school, Claire?
I took the bus home from school.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah. Wow. So one way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I mean, I get it. It's a stressful job. Kids are bouncing around, you know, being crazy. There would be yelling from time to time. Not me, of course. Yeah, I was a perfect little angel.
Yeah, for sure.
So cousin Greg is there, aka his name is Ed, and he films Carter and Rosie, and he says he's making a documentary about homecoming before and after. And Rosie's never heard of homecoming before. What is that? Mm-hmm.
Wait, Allie, have you seen a DCOM called True Confessions by any chance?
No, what's that one about?
Okay, that one stars Shia LaBeouf as, how do I say this? Someone with some unexplained...
personality.
Unspecified. incredibly vague, unspecified,
learning
mental disability.
Yeah.
And it's incredible. It has not aged well at all. But the movie True Confessions is about this girl doing a documentary about her brother, ultimately. And so this section took me back to that movie. And the guy does say True Confessions in the movie, which to me felt like
a
nod to... Exactly, yeah, like a little Easter egg there, yeah. But I was like, that's not the movie we want to reference, because that hasn't aged well.
Oh my God.
Yeah, but Shia LaBeouf was really popular in 2009. This was Transformers time, right? I don't know.
Oh, maybe.
Oh,
yeah.
I remember when those Transformer movies came out. They were cool.
They still are.
Yeah.
I got to watch it. I still haven't seen the Transformers. Got to put that on my to-do list. I have to watch.
It's so loud.
Watch Transformers.
It's loud. Oh, that's the best way to describe it.
The Universal Studios ride is loud. I'm not surprised the movie is. But, you know, I better watch the movie because then I'll know what's going on in the ride. Okay, then in the classroom, Donnie is really rude to Rosie. He's sitting on a desk and then turns around and sees Rosie and thinks that she's really hot. So he gives up the desk, which is like such a decommy kind of scenario. So this is French class and Rosie speaks French with the teacher, who is very impressed. And then we cut to the castle and the villain's just sort of hanging out in the castle, telling people what's what, giving away all of his plans.
Now, this villain is the acting. The acting is very, how do we say?
He's like a TikTok actor.
Like a cartoon.
Yeah. Like the most heightened two-dimensional portrayal of, I don't know, a Spanish dictator. like he just Googled Spanish dictator and was like, okay, I see the picture. I kind of get it. And just did the most with this role. And he was, you know what? Props to him. He was having a field day. That actor was having fun. Just straight up having the most fun.
One of my favorite things about this dictator is like the Rosie's mom, the queen or whatever, is like, you're going to go right in that dirty cell. But every time we see her, she's in a new ball gown. It's incredible. Like she's wearing like either a beautiful shawl or like jewelry. And I was like, I would love to stay in that dirty cell because she looks fabulous.
You're very much, I'll have what she's having.
Yeah. Yes, please.
Right. Her life has not really been changed at all, it seems, except for the fact that her daughter is somewhere else. And, you know, she's just running around with this crazy dude in her house. So Rosie's at lunch in the cafeteria. And, Rosie doesn't know how lunch works. Doesn't know how lines work. Doesn't know what mystery meat is.
She doesn't know what a hamburger is.
Never heard of a hamburger.
Doesn't know what a hamburger is. Doesn't know how to eat a hamburger. No.
Well, you know, can you blame her? She's only had fondue. Yeah. She's only had chocolate fondue. So, you know, she's trying to broaden her horizons over
here. Giant buffet. Yes. So the mean kids kind of comment on it. You know, they think that she's silly. Carter shows Rosie how to eat a burger, and then the principal announces homecoming and how there are going to be three princesses. Mm-hmm.
And every time you hear princess in the movie, you should drink because
1,000%.
So apparently they say the word princess 80 times in this movie.
That's not right. There's more than
Seems
that.
Modest.
Felt more than that, yeah.
For an 89-minute movie, they said it more than once per minute. So, Rosie stands and announces that she wants to
nominate
Carter.
Yeah.
Which, of course, is very embarrassing for Carter, because Carter's like, that's not how this works. Please don't do this. They go home and they fight because Rosie cannot be normal, she says. However, Rosie's only been there a day.
And being normal is vastly overrated.
Exactly. As Grandma Aggie,
from Halloween Town.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Also, poor Rosie's been through a traumatic experience. She had to flee her home because a cartoon dictator
and
took
mom's
over.
In danger.
Well, right. she's looking pretty fancy for someone in danger.
Danger. Danger of being hotter than ever.
You're right. Actually, Allie, you're totally right, because when they have a shot of her at the very beginning of the coronation, they fucked up that woman's hair. That woman has an updo that is the scraggliest tumbleweed of a hairdo I have ever seen in my life. And then when she's quote-unquote captured, her hair is looking good, her dresses are looking sharp, so I don't know. Seems like she's being taken care of.
Yeah, but we don't know their fashion choices were there. Maybe being a hot mess was in at the time, and she's too put together, and it makes her look bad.
I see. Yeah, the royal decree was look a hot mess. I'd live in that kingdom, honestly.
It really does. It just feels like there's no urgency in this situation at the castle. Like, I don't know what the stakes are here.
Yeah.
He only cares about if Rosie is there.
Yeah.
I guess that's what it is. Carter instructs Rosie to transfer some worms at the bait shop where she works. That's where her dad's sort of cover job is, at a bait shop.
Yeah, but and then she reaches at a high shelf and all the worms fall on her, perfectly on her.
No. 7 worms fall on her.
Very neatly.
And then very neatly. They just clean it up. And then we go. Okay, so they're talking about dinner. What do we have for dinner? Pizza? Burgers? A lot of pizza and burger talk in this movie. And then we find that Rosie has made dinner. And also, as you referred to them, Midsommar crowns.
Yes, that whole scene felt very Midsommar. Allie, am I wrong?
You're so... major Midsommar vibes. I was like, where's Florence Pugh? Get her. Yeah. Am I right? Don't drink the dandelion tea.
Thank you.
Which Carter is very suspicious of this food.
She saw Midsommar, so.
She went into the future.
And then there's this whole, it's a fight that happens. Of course, Carter doesn't want to eat this. And then Rosie also feels hurt by that, too, because, she did all this effort. And again, Rosie is still transitioning from this experience that she's had in a new place. And then Rosie explains her story to Carter about what happened and why she had to flee.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, we're getting a little bit of a bonding between these two. And they go bowling.
Fun.
That was fun.
Yeah.
It was fun. And Rosie and Edwin have sort of a moment.
Yeah, he puts shoes on her because she's like, put shoes on me because I'm a princess.
She doesn't know what size she is. Yeah. Shoe sizes? Never heard of it.
But Selena says that she's a 5.5. That's a very tiny foot.
That is a very tiny foot.
The same thing. No way she's 5.5.
No.
Maybe it's men's sizes. There's like a unisex size. Is there such thing as a unisex size?
No, I don't think so. I mean, there should be.
Yeah. Yeah. All sizes should be the same. It's so confusing.
It really is. It's so crazy that they're different.
It's like sometimes it's like medium, large, small, extra. Sometimes it's numbers.
Sometimes it's
like,
wide.
Too much.
And then it like transfers from kid to adult sometimes. Yeah. And sometimes they do keep it the same.
Yeah, and then
brands have different sizes too. Like,
yes.
You get size in one brand and then in another brand, it's like completely different.
No, that's annoying. Mm-mm.
It should all be in centimeters.
Yeah, just tell us the centimeters on
things. So, okay, at the bowling alley, Donnie's there, and the mean gals are there, and Rosie is amazing at bowling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who would have thought?
Unbelievable.
Amazing at Rosie's never bowled before, right?
Yeah, and this scene was a reference to Alley Cat Strike.
I love that one! Rachel, have you ever done the thing that they do with Alley Cat, where they do the thing? And then I have, and it did not work.
No. It immediately goes into the gutter. And
Man, that's so funny. Yeah, I know. I always wanted that to work, but it doesn't make sense why that would work, the spinny thing. So Chelsea and Brooke realize that Rosie is gaining popularity, and they're like, we got to make this gal the third princess who's going to be nominated. So they kind of take her under their wing, but in like a very phony way.
Right.
And then Carter tells back at home, Carter tells Rosie that in the third grade Donnie kissed her, which we know is upsetting because Donnie can't even remember Carter's name.
I know, that's so mean.
He's rude. We don't stand.
No.
So Carter explains that she has a job at the bait shop and that Rosie has to get her own job.
Yeah, and that's when Chelsea helps her out by getting her job at the ice cream shop that her dad is a king of.
King of Froyo.
Yeah.
And doesn't really give her any training. Says, okay, this is the machine. Here's a cone. See you later. Oh, wear this hat. See you later.
Which and also, this gave us very cowbells vibes.
Yes.
That's right.
Right. No one's
Do you remember that one, Allie? Cowbells?
Yeah. AJ was in that. Was Allie in that too?
Allie
and AJ.
In it. Yeah. There was also, I feel like this is a DCOM trope, but you guys are the experts. But there's always like, if there's any kind of like dairy around whatsoever, people either like slip on it, spills on them, or it gets dumped on their head.
Oh, yes. Yeah. If there's goo, we gotta spill the goo.
Goo will be spilled.
Goo, slime spray.
Slime spray.
Slime, comma, spray. Oh.
They can't
comma.
Slime, though, because that's Nickelodeon.
That's Nickelodeon. Yes, oh, right. Yes, yes.
Right.
Spray. They own the word spray, not slime.
Spray.
Spray.
Disney spray.
Spray, exactly. Yeah. It's a mist.
So she's like overwhelmed with all the ice cream, and then that's when Chelsea tells the guy to go in and press a button that then causes everything to like everywhere.
Yeah, it's like a cleaning mechanism, but it didn't really clean. It just made more ice cream appear.
Maybe it pushes everything out of the machine, and the machine's supposed to be empty when it
happens.
Yeah,
that
sounds maybe. Right.
Maybe.
So, yeah. So,
what a mess.
I mean, what an unfortunate sequence of events.
Ends up on her back again, like the worms.
Yeah.
Falls over.
And that's when Carter and cousin Greg show up to save her, right? And then Selena sees the bad guy leaving out the back, and so then she puts an ice cream cone on his head.
Cone to the head. Yeah. That's a big DCOM. That's a DCOM.
Yeah, that's a trope for sure.
I loved it.
Yeah. That happens in Princess Diaries too, right?
She comes,
Lana got coned. Lana got coned.
Yeah.
Was this before or
after? Take it up for dry cleaning.
Princess Diaries.
After. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
I feel like Princess Diaries was like 2005-ish.
Yeah, it's early. It's pretty early. Yeah. Actually, earlier. I think it's like 2001.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Damn.
So Chelsea sends... Okay, wait. So they did a clean tank, a big mess. We said that.
Yeah.
Carter comes to the rescue. People laugh and film. So they all pull out their high-tech flip phones.
They're high-tech flip phones. That's grainy as fuck. You ain't gonna see nothing.
I know.
That was the thing.
I wasn't even worried that they were filming her.
Yeah.
You were still pretty safe.
No one's gonna recognize her.
Yeah.
Because what's his face was like, I know where she is, because he like pulls out his phone and I was like, you wouldn't be able to tell where she is from that grainy ass picture.
Yeah. But
whatever.
So Rosie and Carter are they're on a stroll and they're practicing burping and learning all the important things, the important skills. Mm-hmm. They're friends now. Bonding.
They're laughing on the bench, and Demi has like a really intense laugh.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god, that laugh! Holy moly, that laugh! It's a lot. It's a big old laugh.
Mm-hmm. Back at the castle, the villain's trying on some pins, and he says he's gonna marry Rosie's mom as a way to lure Rosie back, because no way Rosie could stay away. If her mom's getting married to him. These people have great plans. All great plans. And then the princesses are named at school, and they are Chelsea, Carter, and Rosie.
Wow. But what about
homecoming?
What about Brooke?
Oh no. If only Brooke were more popular, she would have also been named. Mm-hmm. So Chelsea at this point, Chelsea was already very obsessed with the princess prom thing, but she really, really makes it clear now that she's just, like, out of her mind. Like, oh, no, this was the plan. You messed up the plan. What are we going to do? And then Donnie asks Rosie to the homecoming dance, but she declines because she knows that he is not our friend. We do not
see. Yeah, we don't like him.
That moment was really cool. I was like, heck yeah. She had no hesitation. She was just like, no.
yes. So then we get a little montage to find Carter's inner princess. And it's to the song One in the Same.
One in the Same.
And that's a Selena and Demi
duo. Yeah.
Duo.
We get them reading. We get dresses.
And we get Madeline. What's her face? That's her name, right? Demi's sister makes a cameo in the back of the library scene.
Yes. Oh, wow. Little cameo.
Yeah.
Wait, this is the makeover scene? Montage?
Mm-hmm. There's a scene where they're reading in a library.
Right.
Or a bookstore.
She's
or something.
Doing princess stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But okay, great. Princess. Because that montage scene where they're trying different dresses is very strange to me. Because you had a lady who worked at the store, fine. And then the next thing you know, it's like a gaggle of older ladies sitting down in what seems like an outdoor, like, tea. They're having tea while looking at them changing into dresses. I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? Who are these
ladies?
Maybe
it was a yard sale. It was their yard sale, and they're selling dresses, oh, and they true. Also had tea.
She's like, yeah. I wore this in 1972.
But one of those dresses is a Betsy Johnson.
Yes,
dress.
That turquoise one is definitely Betsy Johnson.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, good find.
Oh, I remember.
Good find.
Those dresses were so popular back in
yeah.
the day.
Yeah. I had a Betsy Johnson dress for my homecoming one year, and everyone loved it. One girl even asked to borrow it for prom, and I was like, no.
What for prom?
Whoa.
Yeah, I was like, you wear long dresses to prom and short dresses to homecoming. And she was like, no, I think I want that one. I was like, no. Oh.
I think I want that one.
Go get your own Betsy.
Yeah.
So Brooke finds herself in the library and happens to find a magazine, and in the magazine is a picture of Rosie as a princess.
Mm-hmm.
So now she knows. And we, okay, so Chelsea and Brooke then go to Carter and Rosie's house, and they corner Rosie and tell her that they know that she's a princess, and then they take the dresses and throw them in the mud.
Rude.
Wow, cruel.
But I thought this was like homecoming is tomorrow, and it was clearly like a week later, and I was like, yeah. They have enough time to go get those dresses clean.
Yeah.
The timeline of the DCOMs is always confusing to me. Yeah. I don't know.
Because
mm-hmm.
then just Rosie's like, something. I have to go. And Carter's like, I have an idea. Why don't you stay till homecoming? She's like, okay, I can do that.
Yes.
Another plot hole is where there are no homecoming kings. They're just princesses.
Oh, true. Yeah, wait a second.
Who's going to be the homecoming king? And there's
kings don't care.
Kings
and
don't
the
care.
Princess mm-hmm. aspect, that's not a thing, is it? Where you nominate three princesses and then they get promoted to queen if they win?
No. Yeah, my school had that.
Oh, really?
We had a homecoming court where it was like, and then they announced the queen at homecoming.
Oh.
Did it, when you were in the Maybe. Court, did were you, would it be like, you're the duchess and you're the, you know, countess?
No. I think everyone was just kind of like court, I guess like a princess, but not really called princess, but like.
Oh, you're vague royalty until we decide
yeah.
who gets the title. So, okay. Okay. Then we, what's her face? Rosie has a her own personal designer named Elegante. And
Elegante.
Mr. What? Elegante. And so yes. Carter calls Elegante, somehow gets his phone number, to warn him that Rosie's trying to go home. And she says, okay, I just need you to make me two dresses.
Yeah, because her plan is that she's going to make two dresses, but tell the guy that Rosie is wearing the teal dress, but really Carter's going to be wearing the teal dress. Mm-hmm. So when they come to steal her, they're going to steal Carter instead. But yeah.
Truly a bad plan.
The worst plan, because they tell him where Rosie is, which is Louisiana.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. And so much for the Princess Protection Program.
Right.
So the gals get ready for the dance, and Helen the bus driver is there, which is very fun that we get to see her again. And they all decide to wear masks because that's going to help with the disguise. Right. And then at the dance, Donnie's being a creep to Carter. Yeah. He's like, oh, don't you love me? You've loved me since third grade. And she's like, no, you didn't remember my name.
Mm.
I'm over it. And then, okay, Brooke sort of like friend breaks up with Chelsea in the bathroom because
that's so hard.
She realizes.
Breaking up with a friend is hard, you know?
Breaking up is hard to do.
But yeah. She needed to get rid of that toxic relationship. You know, good for you, Brooke.
Yeah, Brooke needed that. Needed to happen for sure.
Good for you.
Well, probably.
Good for you.
Oh my gosh, I love. Okay, I love that song. But you speak. We'll probably talk about this later. But like, and maybe I just live under a rock. But I always thought that Selena and Demi were friends.
Oh, we didn't go into this.
Guys, and then I read an insider article about like how they're not friends and like how they broke up as friends. And I got like really sad.
Yeah, it's sad.
Oh my gosh. It's a little like what happened in the movie.
Yeah, because they.
But
I think it wasn't
under the same circumstances.
It was different because they were friends when they were in Barney, and then they did Disney Channel together, and they were best friends. But then they kind of went their separate ways, you know. Yeah, and like Selena became best friends with Taylor,
and Demi got a little jealous.
Yeah, and then he felt left behind. Yeah, and now Demi is managed by Scooter Braun, who is Taylor's mortal enemy at the moment. So it really is, they're not friends anymore, but you know what? Are you friends with all of your friends from?
No, people grow apart sometimes, but I think they still like support each other's careers, like on Twitter and stuff, which is cool.
Okay.
But, Demi doesn't follow, Selena on Twitter or Instagram anymore.
Yeah.
And when interviewed, she was like, she's not my friend.
What? No. I think it's upfront.
Yeah, I think it's a thing where like when... Selena is like, I'm here for Demi, but Demi's like, I'm not friends with Selena.
Yeah.
I think it's hard when your friendship is so public, I think, because that's not something normal people have to deal with.
Yeah. But also Demi has like had like falling outs with a lot of her friends because she was also they were also friends with the Jonas Brothers and they aren't friends really with the Jonas Brothers anymore. Like they used to be best friends with like Nick Jonas, and they don't even follow Nick Jonas, I don't think, anymore on Instagram, but they do follow Kevin and Joe, even though they dated Joe and that was a bad breakup, but
they both dated him.
Well Selena
Taylor,
dated Nick.
Taylor,
I see.
Taylor dated Joe, and then Selena dated Nick.
Everyone's dating everyone.
Those Jonas Brothers got around.
Yeah, Jonas Brothers are. Other than Kevin, Kevin has been very.
Kevin has been married since the band started. I feel.
But it is sad that. But we do have Princess Protection Program to look back and be like, aw. And then also, although they used to do YouTube videos together, with their hair,
but.
Their MySpace days. Yeah. Oh, wow.
So the villain arrives at the high school via helicopter. No one's suspicious. However, Chelsea thinks that the villain and his crew are the security for the homecoming dance. Just takes it in stride. No big deal. And then Rosie wins queen.
Mm-hmm.
Shocking. Shocking. Then,
but they've already kidnapped Carter, thinking that Carter is Rosie, and they're heading towards the helicopter. But then Rosie realizes that Carter's not around, and she goes to save Carter. And then they're like, "Stop! I'm real Rosie!" And then they start to take her. It's a lot. And then, oh no, in the helicopter is actually her dad.
What? How did that happen?
Yeah, how did that happen?
Honestly, I thought that the dad was working with Carter. That would make sense.
Yes.
Right? But no.
But no.
No, because
that would make sense, and that would be fun, and make sense because they're so close and they're buddies, and the whole time they've been, you know.
But then Carter says something about how, like, you wouldn't have let me be bait or something,
right? Yeah. Right.
Even though we love bait, because we're a bait family. Yes.
Yeah. Why'd you do it? Oh, and then they hug. Yeah, you and me, pal. And then Rosie gets crowned, makes a big speech about it, and then we get a song over the credits. Demi singing Two Worlds Collide.
Two Worlds Collide. Whoa. Yeah, that was from her album. Yeah.
Wow. They should have sung in the movie. That would have been fun.
It should have been a musical. Oh,
like a musical?
Yeah.
Yeah. There are moments where I felt like it could have, and then they just didn't.
There could have been a talent for the prom homecoming.
Homecoming. Yeah, the homecoming talent show.
Yeah.
Homecoming talent show.
Why not?
I mean, just like the camp talent show.
You have two singers that are your leads. Make it a musical.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. That would've been so fun.
That's what this movie was missing.
That was the end.
That's it. What?
Of Princess Protection Program. Wow.
So after watching Princess Protection. That's no, but a different very close. Thing. Princess Protection Program. What's the moral of the story? What's the takeaway of this movie?
Louisiana loves bees. Bait, bowling, boats,
bayou.
Burgers. Bayou, and bone coming.
Bone coming?
I think the moral is
homecoming. Was a virgin for a very long time.
I think the moral is, if you're gonna come up with a plan, just make it like a real plan, like a full-fledged plan.
Okay,
that goes for villains, that goes for heroes, that goes for everybody.
Make a plan. Make it make sense.
The moral of what I got out of it is, like, listen, if you're gonna clean the frozen yogurt machine, get the freaking frozen yogurt out of the damn machine.
You need to know that.
Or else you're gonna get Disney sprayed all over the place.
Disney sprayed.
Allie, what's your takeaway from this movie?
My takeaway is, if you live in a country where there's a monarch, I would ask them to not use their tax dollars to hide princesses in a kind of shitty protection program, and instead maybe use those tax dollars to give back to the people of their country. Yes. Help solve some global warming.
Oh my God. You bring up an interesting point. What if the monarchs are shitty ass people? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm just going to say that princess protection, like, secret layer where they all got makeovers was a private island. That's expensive. There's a lot of staff that they were paying for. Like, if I was in one of these kingdoms, I'd be like, hey, don't spend my money on all this high tech stuff and, like, getting princesses haircuts. Spend my money, you know, on maybe building more bridges.
Make the people happy so these people won't be endangered in various ways, or keep people safe somehow with the money.
Right.
So, yeah, that was totally my takeaway.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Or haircuts for everybody.
And bone coming.
And bone coming. Come on. We all want a bone. Let's bone. Yeah. All right, let's cast ourselves. Who would we play in the Princess Protection Program?
Well, Oscar, you already kind of cast yourself. You said that you would be Mr. Elegante.
Yeah, definitely. I've definitely auditioned for only those roles my entire career. So, yeah, I think I would play Mr. Elegante for sure.
But also, you can be those ladies at the at the dress. No, the bus driver. You also be the I'm trying to think.
The villain guy going real wild.
Oh no!
The girl with braces who's like,
I love her, Muffy. I love Muffy. But honestly, the part that I really want to play is the part of the librarian who shaded Brooke for those 2 seconds. Didn't say anything in the movie. Librarian.
Oscar, love you got to say a line to get more money.
No, that's an icon. To me, that's an icon.
Oh, okay. She really did chew the scenery without even opening her mouth.
She said, girl, what you say? Here it is. And you know what? I was there for it. I believed every second, every frame of that, I believed.
Okay. That was very good.
She was not acting. Good. She was being. And honestly, I was taking notes. Yeah. So,
yeah.
Okay, so let's see here. Definitely. Allie, you would play Selena Gomez's character for
Carter.
Sure. Carter.
Oh my gosh.
Absolutely Carter.
You give off like kind of an angsty vibe.
Yeah.
You're just like cool. You're like cool. Yeah, you're like
I'm
not like the other girls.
You're not like the other girls. You like aren't afraid of worms, you know what I mean?
Cap.
Or lizards.
You would wear sneakers with your prom dress.
Yeah. Yes. Didn't want to be a princess, didn't want anything to do with that, but then also could do it really well.
And you burn.
Yes.
I burp, and I'm not afraid to wear a ponytail, and then really long side bangs.
Oh, yes.
I'm not afraid of that.
It's almost like didn't put it in a ponytail. You just took a little bit of your hair and put that in the ponytail.
Yeah.
Why choose?
Why choose?
You can have
choose?
It all.
Why bother? Why choose? Exactly. And honestly, get you a princess that can do both. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hair out, hair up.
Exactly. Claire, you would play Demi Lovato's character for sure.
Oh, wow.
The princess, absolutely. Yeah. And
you like to sit.
I love to sit. That's true.
Also, you don't like to conjugate, or you can't say can't. You have to say cannot.
Yeah,
you
say cannot. I say cannot.
And you say absolutely. It is, and
it is.
Do not.
It is. I do not know what that is. Also, I've never had a hamburger, never seen one before, or waited in a line. What is a line?
Yes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Rachel, you know what? Rachel, I would love to see you as Brooke. To me, Brooke is truly, and Brooke is my favorite character in this whole
movie.
Best
character, yeah.
She has that funny moment where she's translating. Honestly, we gotta give it up to Brooke. She's my favorite character. I feel like Rachel would have such a blast playing that character. I could see Rachel and Brooke for sure, 1,000%.
I can see Rachel's feet on the dashboard of a convertible. Yeah. Being
like, yes, oh, fresh petty.
My pedicure's dry.
It's so funny to me to imagine them giving
voice
pedicures.
Like
she had a unique voice. It was like, hey, oh my gosh.
Yeah, she had
Do
a really
unique
voice. Do you
have any articles here about princesses in magazines? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then I'd come in and be like, here you go.
Thank you so much.
Okay, so Allie, in the podcast, we have a section we called Zaddy Watch.
Yay!
Where we rate the dads of every DCOM, okay? So the way that it works, and of course, it's both how good of a parent they are and also how hot they are, obviously. So if the dad in Princess Protection Program is like the hottest zaddy ever, he's platinum zaddy status. Then we have gold, silver, bronze, then zaddy, then daddy,
dad,
and father is the worst rating. Yeah. So where does the dad in Princess Protection Program place on our zaddy scale?
Oh my God. This is the best segment ever. do I start?
Anybody can go.
Anybody can go.
For me, I could start right now. He's given me very white Louisiana.
He
father,
is
he's a good dad. I think he cares about his kids. Also, he's sexy as hell. I thought he was sexy. I thought he had something. His body was right. He had a great ass. Don't think I didn't look because I checked and the ass is there. So for me, he gets a, he's not platinum zaddy. That's reserved for a couple of dads on the DCOM okay. list, but he's very much gold zaddy standing mm-hmm. for me. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I will, you know, I'm going to give it up. I'm giving him a platinum zaddy.
Oh my God, Claire!
He is, he's a great dad. They make such a point of like trying to explain, like prove that he's a great dad. I think he could have been better at explaining to his daughter the situation that was going on, but I understand they needed that for the drama. Okay. You know, they needed it for the drama of the situation. And of course, he's a very good looking man. And I just like, he was there the whole time for his daughter. He has a cool, interesting job to protect people, which is he also has a bait business too. He's got two businesses.
He's got
going.
Two jobs. You're right. He's a multitasker. Mm.
So I mean. Why? So that's why I'm like, why hold back? This is what
we've been waiting for. You're right.
This is what we want.
Okay,
to go
Rachel,
down.
I feel like you want to go next or something. What's good?
Well,
what's good, Rachel?
In our teaser in the last episode, I did say that there was a zaddy coming up. And
true, you did mention that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is to me a platinum zaddy. He is a protector. He is a best friend. You could tell that everyone had a crush on him. Everyone wanted that daddy to be there, zaddy. He's a good-looking man. Nostalgic. He was in American Dream starring Brittany Snow, which I loved. And Milo Ventimiglia, I think, was in that show, too. Was he? Oh. I don't remember. No, he wasn't.
I don't remember.
Anyway.
That sounds like he could have been. Could have been.
Yeah. He's beautiful man. He's got lots of money, right? Because he's got multiple jobs and he knows how to work a computer, so I wouldn't have to explain it to him, you know? So, platinum zaddy.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Cute. Love it.
Wow. Yeah, it's interesting because, like, I'm so glad that this is a segment because there were several times when I was watching this movie where I was like, is this dad, like, really giving off a lot of sexual energy?
Oh, there were definitely shots of him coming into a room a la Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park. That little walk, like, there were hints.
Yeah, I'd say that he's definitely in the zaddy category for me, just because of some, like, the stuff that he does. Like, he's, you know, in tapestries, like, swinging on tapestries.
Oh, yeah.
He's, like, you know, eating burgers, you know, flinging bait around. He's in that Jeep. Oh, that Jeep is such a
The Jeep. Mm-hmm.
But I think I'm going to, like, reserve my platinum zaddy status for Coach Bolton of High School Musical because a very handsome man. And this guy, he has some very lovely baby blues, very piercing blue eyes. So I'm going to give him a gold zaddy.
Oh,
good call. I agree.
I mean, yeah, a very high ranking.
He rates really high. One of the hottest zaddies we've ranked on the podcast. Probably number one.
Who really? Has there been any other platinum zaddies?
Well, for me, there's a golden standard. There's two dads that, to me, take the cake absolutely 1,000%. Everybody, anyone who listens to the podcast knows the two hottest dads in DCOM history is the dad in Miracle in Lane 2.
Which is
Frankie Muniz plays a disabled kid in a wheelchair, which, okay, that's weird. But the dad is incredibly sexy. And
the mom from that was the lady from the Princess Protection Program in this, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, the Russian
lady?
That's
why she was familiar, yeah.
Oh, get out of here. Wow. No, cute. Love that. That's awesome. And the other one is Mr. Sheffield in My Mom's Got a Date with a Vampire.
Not really a dad, but... We let Oscar have it.
He's a dad to me.
He said
have to be a daddy to be a zaddy.
Exactly.
But yeah, exactly, mine is Bill Pullman in Tiger Cruise. That's my platinum zaddy.
You love Bill Pullman. Aren't you a big fan of while you were sleeping.
It's great. Him in those jeans.
Oh, and while you were sleeping, yes.
Woodworking while you were sleeping?
Oh, yeah.
Actually, Allie, I watched while you were sleeping because I guessed it on your podcast, and I was like, I need to watch more. Yeah.
Did you really? What did you think?
I liked it, even though I was like, the premise of this is so tricky. Like, how did they pull this off? But I enjoyed it. And again, Bill Pullman, yes, very, very hot in that movie. Yeah. Great. Awesome. Now it's time to rate the movie. Out of 5 worms, how many worms do you give Princess Protection Program?
How many worms were on Demi?
Out of how many worms on Demi do we give Princess Protection Program?
I'll get I'll talk first. So I liked the people in it. I liked the characters. However, again, like some of these, like the plans people had, I really wasn't able to follow along with what it was, and the urgency didn't quite feel real. Sometimes Demi felt like a robot rather than just like a person who was royal, because it did feel a lot like stepsister from Planet Weird style unusualness. However, I like the people in it. I like the idea of it. So I'm going to give it 3.75 worms.
Oh, you're cutting up
3.75? Oh, wow. Okay, that's a bisected worm.
Yeah, because it feels like more than 3.5, but I don't feel like it's quite a 4 for me.
Gotcha. Let's see. Well, how much do I give it? I enjoyed the movie. I thought it was cute. I mean, listen, to me, the biggest shocker is how good the acting was in a weird way. Like, Demi was good. Selena was great.
Yeah.
I love Selena. I especially love Selena in Only Murders in the Building, which I don't know if you've seen, Allie, but it's fantastic.
Oh, it's on my watch list.
It's great. It's so great.
I love Cozy Murders.
Oh, you'd love this show. You have to watch it.
Yeah.
But Selena was good in this movie. I wasn't expecting her to be so great, and she was. And it's silly, you know, there's a lot of eye-rolly stuff, especially like depiction of like what I assume a Latin American country is a little cringe. Probably didn't age well, especially with like the whole military dictatorship that was happening. And also shout out to who played the mean girl? Jamie Chung? Jamie Chung she's from the real world. That's how she got her start.
She's
so good as the mean girl. Very few mean girls pull it off in DCOMs, I think. But she was very, very good in it. So for that, I'm going to give it a 4. 4 worms on Demi for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was in between a 3.5 and a 4. Maybe I'll give it, you know, Claire's rating of a 3.75. I do think this. I love Demi and Selena. The cast is really great. I just wish that they had a better movie. This whole plot thingy, it just didn't work for me because like the villain was kind of campy and not great, and I didn't fully understand it. But, you know, I love them both, and I like watching them. And then also it was very time capsule of 2008, actually, which was a pivotal moment in my life. So it's fun to look back on that. But, yeah, it could have been perfect because I'm, like, looking at, like, Wizards of Waverly Place was really great, and then Camp Rock was – obviously my favorite DCOM, so like I knew the potential was there. They just missed it a little bit, but yeah, 3.75.
yeah, man, I agree with everything you guys are saying. Yeah, something that's really interesting about this movie is I feel like the tone of like the country of Costa Luna and the tone of the Princess Protection Program are very like campy and heightened. But then yes. I think like the high school world, especially like the relationship between like Selena and Demi's character, it's like almost like pretty grounded and well acted. And so that kind of like as a viewer was a little bit like what kind of movie am I in? You know, the tone got a little bit wonky at times. And I wanted it to be a musical. I wanted there to be more singing. And I wanted there to be more singing, musical for sure. And the plot device of the dad coming to save the day. And then when his daughter asks him for an explanation, she's like, how are you in this helicopter right now? Like, I'll always be there for you, pal. And I was like, that's, you're not answering. That's a non-answer.
I've said too much.
I've said too much already. But yeah, those were the cons. The pros, man, it hit a lot of my favorite tropes, put an ice cream on people's heads. I love the trope of the makeover. This makeover was fun because it was like a D makeover where, you know, they became normal.
Interesting. Yeah.
And I liked the like trying on dresses montage. They hit a lot of my favorite tropes. So I would give it a 3.5 worms. 3.5 worms and a lizard's tail.
Wow.
I like that. That's right. How you end an episode of Inside the Disney Vault with half with an entire lizard's tail detached. Amazing. Allie, thank you so much for being our guest on Inside the Disney Vault. You're so fun. Oh. How do people get in touch with you via the social media?
Oh, here's how you can get in touch with me. Check out my podcast's social media. PSL of Romcoms is our handle. You can check out my Instagram where I never post on my grid, but sometimes I'll post a story. It's at Allie Jens, J-E-N-S. Did not manage to spell my whole name. And you guys, thank you so much for having me. This was such a blast.
It's so great to have you. So and fun. Also just if people, I mean, just so you know, P.S. We Love Rom-Coms is a podcast about you, Allie, and Mia Shuffler, who we've had on the podcast before, talk about rom-coms. You bring a guest every week. So there's a nice little Venn diagram between Inside the Disney Vault listeners and P.S. We Love Rom-Coms. So
if
you like this podcast, you're going to love Allie and Mia's podcast. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
Again.
I love it. You guys did a Meg Ryan bracket that was very fun to listen to, March Magnus, and then you're doing Jane Austen, right?
So much Jane Austen. Yeah. So much Jane Austen.
Allie's forever changed.
Yeah.
Again, Allie, thank you for being our guest.
Thank you.
And we're ready to go and explore some more of this vault. So we'll see you next week.
Again, the chopper.
Yeah, let's get to the choppa. Thanks for listening to Inside the Disney Vault. I'm Oscar.
I'm Claire.
And I'm Rachel.
Bye.
Bye.
What the? What? Can you believe we covered Princess Protection Program? I gotta say, we have made quite a dent in this DCOM thing.
Oh,
yeah? We've seen so freaking many, but I think we're about to get into like the second renaissance of the Disney Channel original movies, right? Because we had them in the, like,
we are in the second renaissance right now. Because I feel like the Camp Rock High School Musical was the second renaissance. Because we had the first renaissance was,
Do you think we're, like, at the tail end of the second renaissance of DCOMs?
Fading out. Okay. And it's going to get bad.
Okay. So I'm curious, what are we going to visit next week?
Wizards of Waverly Place, the movie.
Interesting. So this is the movie based on the TV show Wizards of Waverly Place, starring Selena Gomez, who we just saw.
And David Henry, who we know from Dadnapped.
Yeah. And the mom from Camp Rock.
The mom from Camp Rock.
Yeah. Jake T. Austin. He's from The Fosters. If you watched the first couple of seasons of The Fosters before, he was replaced by Noah Centineo of To All the Boys I've Loved Before. And then the dad is a what's-his-face, his brother or son or something like that. I can't remember.
The research department is looking.
No, it's okay.
David DeLuise. Oh! DeLuise,
yeah. Yeah, I think so. He's related to him.
yeah, it's his Dom DeLuise was his dad.
Yeah. But yeah, but this is the thing. It's like the even Stevens movie where they go on a vacation.
Oh no, not that trope, really.
Yeah.
They do the whole Brady Bunch thing. Same
script as the Stevens.
You know what? I wouldn't be surprised.
With a different family.
Yeah.
I would not be surprised.
My dad loved Wizards of Waverly Place. He used to watch it all the time. So
that's so cute. It's very fun.
Yeah, I'm a big Wizards stan.
Okay, so if you want to see Wizards of Waverly Place the movie and then listen to the episode, you can watch it on Disney Plus because it's streaming. And if you want to tell us what you thought of the movie, you can reach out to us on Twitter at ITDV Podcast and on Instagram at Inside the Disney Vault.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And we had a live watch party of Princess Protection Program, which was for our Patreon. So if you want to join the next one, then join us at patreon.com/InsideTheDisneyVault.
And those are all online, totally safe from your own home, any time zone you're in.
Yeah. Yes.
In case you don't know what they are.
Yeah.
Incredible. Yeah. Okay, I'm excited. I got to practice. I got to brush up on my magic skills.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm going to do that. And then I guess.
Which way do you want to go?
Blink. Oh, it's a pun. It's a pun on which. Okay, I got it. Well, I'm going left.
Brew could go left and I'll go right. That was a brew, like witch's brew.
Oh, I thought you meant like a broom. Broom goes
broom,
left.
Broom goes, yeah. Anyway, yeah.
I will see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
This is Patrick.
And this is Mark, co-host of Nintendo Cartridge Society.
Every Tuesday and Thursday, we're your home for all things Nintendo.
On Tuesday, we're talking about the latest Nintendo news.
And on Thursday, we're doing deep dives into specific corners of the Nintendo universe.
Ranking the Koopa Kids.
Determining who the best Smash Fighter is.
That's Nintendo Cartridge Society on Campfire Media or wherever you get your podcasts.
Campfire.